Technorama Network Show for episode 449.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Where do our listeners go when they disappear for months or years and suddenly reappear?
Over there, in the media corner.
Now, why didn't I think to check there?
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is our show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things from the geeks. This is the network show for September 23rd, 2015.
So plug in.
Plug in. Turn on. Tune in.
Grab an IP. Hang out.
And a network jack. This is our companion podcast to Technorama with all of your email, voicemail, and social network comments. If you are new to this so-called silliness, there is another major piece to this. If this doesn't make any sense, go back and have a listen to a show or two or four ago. Let's see, the last one we did, I think, was at Dragon Con. Did we purpose that audio at all?
For the live show?
Yeah.
I think it's still coming. I haven't had my grubby hands on it yet.
And please don't consider that Star Wars holiday special a regular show.
Come on. Hey, I had a good time doing that with you guys.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, we all had a good time with it. That's probably the most fun you can have with that. So,
if you have to, yeah, misery love company, like Scott says.
That's true.
Okay, yeah. So pull up a chair, spend a few minutes with us and a few of our closest friends who wrote in, called in the listener line. As I said, I'm Chuck Tomasi from Technorama. And with me, as always, is that other voice, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm recovering from Concrud.
Still?
Yeah, it's actually kind of hanging on.
Yours is terrible.
It's tapering off now. I mean, I'm the worst of it was last week, but I don't know. Was it really Concrud or just we both got a cold?
I think we both just got a cold.
I got a bad cold. Yeah. So
Concrud doesn't take 5 days to set in.
No. And that's right. It was like, I think it was like almost the weekend after we got back. And I was like,
yeah,
starting to feel something. And then that next week it was like,
Sunday was the worst. I was practically tipping over in church. I shouldn't be here.
Yeah. I was at that point. Well, yeah. That's the sucky part about working from home is that nobody tells you
you sick days. Yeah, sick days are tougher to take, aren't they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would just apologize to people up front. Hey, I got a cold. I'm sorry. So I'll try to mute myself when applicable.
My biggest fear was Wednesday I had some oral surgery, and I was afraid that while they had straws and things in my mouth that I'd start coughing.
Yeah.
I went, that will be really terrible. But for some reason, that whole hour, not a one. Not so a cough.
Well, good, but I'm at the tail end of it. I feel a lot better, you know. So it's just a little nasally now, and it's going away. I'm winning.
Winning.
I'll beat this thing.
I don't have my DVD, my disc in. I do have my disc in. Why isn't it playing the right songs? Track 9, track 1. You know what? I was going to use the mini disc player to play some music.
Oh, now it's failed.
No, let's see.
Can you still buy those? What happens if it fails? Do you have a backup?
No. This was a freebie. Am I locked? Why isn't this thing going? Ah, the heck with it. I'm going to do it the old-fashioned way with the Winamp. Here we go.
Yeah.
Letters. Oh, we
letters.
Letters. Letters.
Letters.
Letters.
Today's show is brought to you by L. We don't listen to this music anymore today. You won't learn English from this show.
I prefer hieroglyphics to my letters.
Ankh. Today's cartouche is brought to you by Ankh.
Whenever I think of an Ankh, you know what I think of is immediately I go back to the Indiana Jones on the Atari 2600, because that was one of the things he had to get. Ankh. At one point I'm like, what is that? An Ankh, what is that? So now, once I figured it out, now I know.
All righty. First one is from Crazy Joe.
Hey, Chuck, it's Crazy Joe.
And Craig.
I was calling to you to talk about your comment about Star Wars Episode 7, where you were saying it's got there could be some serious disappointment.
Warning, Will Robinson.
People are going to be expecting this to be the best movie ever. I disagree with you because I feel like they've already given us the disappointment.
Holiday special.
We had the prequels.
Oh, that.
And the prequels were the crushing disappointment. And I feel like going into this movie, it's a feeling like there's nothing to lose.
Yes, yes,
it's like, what, is it going to be worse than Jar Jar?
Could be.
I feel like we've hit rock bottom.
No.
This movie could come out and be mediocre, and I think we'll celebrate it as being great just because we've seen the bottom of the barrel, and now anything even moderately better than that is going to look pretty good to us.
Okay.
And if J.J. knocks it out of the park and makes an amazing movie, then so much the better. But I really feel like the bar is so low right now after the prequels that, you know, it just has to be decent. And it's already miles ahead of what we were served up last time. That's my opinion.
Hmm.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Wow, he's pretty optimistic.
I'm the eternal optimist. So I look at this and I'm like, I see an opportunity. I see a good Star Wars film coming. And because there is a lot at stake, and I think they can't let this fail. That's just the point. I think it's going to end up being a home run.
Well, they certainly are building up the marketing machine because I am seeing more and more merchandise on weirder and weirder stuff every day.
That's right. Oh,
what was the latest one? It was soup cans. Soup cans. There was a Han Solo in carbonite Pop-Tarts. It's just getting overboard. I mean, Solo in carbonite, that was 30 some years ago.
Well, I think Disney could almost get away with not spending hardly any money on marketing, only because, I mean, I know they want to make money, so they sell products.
Okay, I'm a stockholder. I want them to make money too.
Well, yeah. One of my point is that even if they did no marketing for the film, you know, they showed us a tiny teaser and everybody went nuts. Everybody just knows the movie's coming. It's a Star Wars film.
How much bandwidth was eaten up over the lightsaber with the cross guard?
Yeah, I'm saying you could just put out a tweet and you've done your marketing enough for this movie. So, I don't know. Anyway, but yes, I look forward to it. I hope it does well, of course, because I'm a Star Wars fan. I think the Phantom Menace was probably the bottom of the barrel. But yeah, I agree with that.
We shall see, because I personally will not be lining up overnight. I will likely not see it opening weekend. Well, maybe opening weekend, but not like that first Thursday night or Friday preview, whatever it is.
No, I will not let the opening weekend pass without seeing it. There's no way. But I'm not going to stand in line. You know what? See, fortunately for me, we homeschool Harrison, so I could technically go during the day. Schedule a little time out on my calendar. I could probably do that. So I probably will. That's what we'll do.
Depends on the length of the lines.
Hey, wait, scratch that. Can we edit that out?
We do have work listeners on here, you know.
I know.
Next one is from Zaha Doom. According to him, you said something interesting about Back to the Future.
Okay.
Hey, guys. It's Zaha Doom. I'm several episodes back. I'm only on 442 because someone blocked my IP address. Do have a question for Craig, though.
What
talking mean? About Back to the Future coming out on Bluetooth, I've never heard of that media. I mean, what kind of player does it use? Or does it just come through your headset in your truck or on your ear? Thanks, guys. 101.
Wait, did I say Bluetooth?
Apparently so. I don't remember that detail either, but
I meant to say Blu-ray.
Probably.
Yes. Bluetooth. Hey, who knows? Hey, they market
possible.
Back to the Future just like they do Star Wars or anything else. So.
It's the future. It's 2015. hoverboards, self-lacing shoes, the drying jacket.
Bluetooth players.
Right.
Hey, guys. So how you doing again? I'm up to episode 443.
All right.
What SSL. Would I put on a road sign? Chimichangas. Have a good one.
Wait a minute. Chimichangas. Would that even fit? Might.
Chimmy dash Changa dash S.
Yeah. Jimmy who?
Chimmy dash Chong dash Goss. Gas.
Yes. How appropriate.
Or if it's one of those longer ones that we have over the highway here that says I-10 Shooter Hotline 602-644-5805.
Call is that still a problem out there, by the way?
They believe they got him last Friday. They arrested a suspect.
Is that the guy that had him in court and all that? It looked like they had somebody already in.
Yeah, let's hope this nightmare is over.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're known for a few things, and now we're known for another one. All right, we have another couple of them here from Zahadoom. Let's keep going.
All right,
go for it. Hey, guys. Zahadoom again. Question from episode 445.
Okay.
What piece of tech did you first save up for?
Yes.
A Sony CD Discman. Have a good one.
A Sony CD Discman? Is that what he said?
Discman? I thought he said Discmas.
What's a Discmas?
Is that like a CD player you got at Christmas?
Or something you whirl around and throw out in the field at the Olympics?
Yeah, I have a feeling he meant Discman.
Winning the gold medal in the Discmas throw.
Hey, but far be it from me to put words in Zaya Doom's mouth.
Wouldn't want to get called out on that.
Right.
So a Discman, huh? And Rob Reel said that, we'll get to his, but his was closely related. I think we've heard his answer before. But we have another one from Zaha Doom. He must have been binge listening to us and catching up. So we've had 443 and 445. Let's find out what this one's about.
Hey, guys. Zaha Doom again. Just finished episode 446. What piece of technology would I like to have? I believe was the question. Mm-hmm. I'll just take a Death Star. Have a great one, guys. Oh, by the way, you may want to dig up my bumper since I've called in so many times the last 2 days. Have a great one. 101. Bye.
I went digging, and I can't find the darn thing. It had all those voices chained together. It said, Zaha Doom.
Yeah, we got it somewhere. We got to have it somewhere.
I cannot find it. Somewhere in the evolution of all of the transitions between computers and moving houses and
maybe you should check the Technorama Holocron.
The what?
That's where the Jedi's had the library. It was the Holocron.
If we can point out some old voicemail show, maybe we could find it. But we didn't have the same format of show notes, so I can't even search for old show notes to go, oh, he called in and I on 2009 to go find that episode and carve it out of that. If you want to go check your Omicron, Homicron, SETI, Percy I-8, go look for it, man.
Man, know your Star Wars, man.
Just yanking your chain.
Just yanking yours too.
Speaking of things that we can't quite figure out, he's got one
hey
more.
Guys, so I'll do him again. Just finished episode 447, and the hardest scientific principle to grasp your head around, I want to have to either go with quantum entanglement or quantum processing. It's a toss up in my book. Have a great one, guys. 101.
Now, quantum entanglement, I can understand. I just can't figure out how it works, obviously. But when two electrons are you know, vibrating or doing whatever they're doing in synchronicity across the universe.
When two particles really love each other.
In a special way.
Yeah, that's right.
Quantum computing, I can't figure out because it sounded like the electron, you're not doing this the same way as setting a charge to a one or a zero to make a value. It's all over the place. And that one I can't get my head around either. I can't even describe it yet.
You know, the toughest concept I ever had that I did come to grips with was electricity.
Really? What confused you about that?
Well, I didn't really understand it at first until I stuck the key in the socket.
At least you didn't whiz on the electric fence.
Yeah, then I got it.
Shocking discovery, wasn't it?
Yes. I did do that when I was
hair raising, one might say.
Yeah.
I was going to go somewhere else with that, but let's not. Let's go on to the email. We have an email here from Mad Marv. I mentioned the Star Wars Holiday Special as being the last thing we published.
It could have been the last thing we published.
It could have been. Well, we've had about 35 or 40 viewers on the YouTube video since we launched it. Those poor people, at least 35 or 40 people started it. I don't know if they're still alive.
By the way, let me apologize for that a little bit. I kind of threw that together. I didn't spend the time syncing the audio.
It was off about 4 or 5 seconds.
Yeah, it wasn't terrible, but I was like, you know, I could sit here for hours, but who's going to watch it? So I figured, what's the ROI here? I'll just kind of go with it. I did the best I could.
Mad Marv says, "Arg, I want my money back from that show."
Okay, look for it in PayPal.
If they had kept some of Dayton's commercials, because it was out of Dayton, Ohio. Some of Dayton's commercials in the video, that might have been entertaining, but I fell asleep halfway in and woke up to Bea Arthur singing.
The best part.
And the weirdest thing is that the YouTube rating on the video is 90% positive. Now I'm just wondering, just waiting for Lumpy to make an appearance in episode 7. That would be worse than Jar Jar.
What'd be funny is if he is like
grown up,
a war hardened Wookiee at this point, you know, and
he'd be as old as Grandpa Itchy.
Like, look, he's got like, you know, a patch over one eye, a metal patch over his eye, you know, and like really tough now.
He inherited Grandpa Itchy's video library.
Yeah, and they show him strafing across some handrail somewhere, killing stormtroopers.
Itchy, Lumpy gone bad.
Right.
We also have one from Ben, our coworker and listener, on wedding cakes. Remember we had the wedding cake that was 60 years old and the people took it out and ate a chunk every year?
Yes.
Well, he said, I would let you know that the wedding cake isn't hazing.
Okay. All right. You know, it's just a theory I had.
We froze ours and pulled it out after the first anniversary, and it was awesome. I wouldn't trust it for 60 years, but it made it a single year just fine. I suppose it could depend on the cake and how you freeze it. I was skeptical, but it worked for us. And I believe we froze ours, and it was kind of dry and crumbly, and it really wasn't cake anymore so much as like an old piece of concrete. But
ours tasted like somebody was trying to poison us.
Maybe so. They were.
I'm sticking by my hazy comment.
I've heard it work sometimes, so thanks for the confirmation, Ben. Message, our question last week was, what was the greatest piece of tech that failed? And my goodness, we had some good answers on there. Myron wrote back and he said the Apple Newton. And our good friend Tim, who visits our studio fairly frequently, his reply was, he wrote back with a riddle. How many Newtons does it take to screw in a light bulb? The answer? Fouf. Fouf. They're in mixed angles. Amy thin ground soap.
Okay.
If you remember the Newton, that's hysterical. Handwriting recognition was worse than Siri's autocorrect today. It was first came out. The handwriting recognition was just terrible.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to like the Palm Pilot, I think the graffiti thing worked pretty well.
I had a number of those. It was good. What else failed that should have a greatest piece of tech that failed? Well, Scott writes in the clapper.
Right.
And I think
turns off.
My sister writes the bead dazzler. You remember that was like that rhinestone?
The bedazzler.
Yeah. Make your jeans into like solid gold jeans.
You should see my mother-in-law's cell phone. Enough said.
Jack Jaffe writes it. He said, the Sega Dreamcast. And he's actually got a point. That was a very good video system. He said it was MMO on dial-up long before Microsoft or Sony came up with this stuff.
The Sega Dreamcast, they were ahead of their time, I think, to a large degree.
As I understand it, the hardest part about that thing was the development environment. it wasn't very friendly to write programs for, which is why nobody wrote anything, which is why it eventually faded away.
Yeah, it had like a kind of a quick peak, and then, you know, it started kind of going down from there because there wasn't anything new going forward.
Yep. Yeah. Gary Lindros and my sister also joined in and cavorted on Betamax, the videotape format.
You know, I would not say that that failed. I'll tell you why, because for a long time, I mean, since the, what, 60s, beta, that format was huge in production environments, like studios, the TV studios and all that. And
I think
it was
you're thinking of the 3/4-inch format.
I don't know. I don't think
that was
so. I think
that was the bigger version.
It may be, okay, but I think that format wasn't necessarily bad, and it was superior, but it lost out to
the VHS. Yeah.
Lost out to VHS because there was a lot more money behind VHS, and they were able to push it more because Betamax was mainly Sony, right?
Well, if I recall, yeah, Betamax was all Sony, and if I recall, VHS, and this is why I wish we had Mike or somebody here, VHS was able to extend the format. Remember, they had like ES and LS. Mm-hmm. You could get up to 6 hours at crappy quality on a tape, yeah. And people loved that. They could put all of their night's worth of TV shows on there and watch them later if they remember to program the VCR. Yeah. And I believe Betamax only had one or possibly two settings. Somebody who knows beta better than I should call in and let us know. Call the listener line 206-222-2428 if you want to be part of this crazy conversation and call us out on things we speak out of the side of our butts on.
I'm getting ready to call this guy out.
Who, Gary? Or no, Sean?
Sean.
Sean?
The next guy.
Greatest thing that failed? Linux?
No.
I think he might be thinking of desktop Linux. That it didn't,
if he's talking about desktop Linux,
yeah.
To a degree, yes, it's failed. It's very successful for the few people, that use it, but it's not as widespread, of course.
On the desktop, the side, it's been very nerd-centric. Yeah, be honest, you can't use it on a desktop, and it's not something you're going to give your mom and dad.
Yeah, and on the server side, I touch Linux every day.
Oh, server side is hugely popular. Yeah. Absolutely.
It runs the internet.
I wouldn't say that's a failed technology. I think it found its niche when it was trying to be something for everyone.
Even
embedded systems, you know, small scale systems have Linux in them very commonly.
Now, do you know there is one operating system that uses Linux at its core?
Android.
Android.
Yeah. That's right. I was just going to say that.
So I don't see how it could be a failure. I mean, and look at this, and it's a desktop. Well,
it's an embedded operating system is really what it is.
It is, but I'm.
It is.
It can be. It doesn't have to be.
It works well in embedded operating systems. It works well on servers. It just never really met the server desktop all that well.
Have you tried it as a desktop at all?
Not in recent years. It's probably been it's been at least 5 since I played with it on a desktop.
Oh, it's made a lot of advances, to be honest with you. In a lot of ways, mm-hmm. It compares to anything else now. But it's just that it has just limited appeal because you really have to install it yourself.
Right.
And you have to have some know-how. But as far as doing anything any of the other operating systems do, sure, you can do anything. On desktop-wise, you can do anything you want.
Desktop, laptop people, they like to get their device and just start using it. Whether mm-hmm. it's Windows or Mac OS or whatever, they want to go to the store, buy it, and be done with it.
Yeah. And I'm going to be honest with you. I sometimes suffer from geek fatigue. You go, I got to jump through those hoops to make this happen. And sometimes I feel like that with Linux, but you know what? I still love it, even though it abuses me.
All right. Other technology that was really good but didn't make it. Rob writes the mini disc player. He's also emailed us on that in the past. Thank you very much for throwing that in. Very good input as well.
Now, they don't make that at all anymore, do they?
No, I don't think they make it. I don't even think they make the media anymore. So I might have some collectibles here.
I think that's what I was getting at was the media. I think they quit just a few years ago.
Yeah. Sort of like 35 millimeter film.
Mm-hmm.
But not cassette tapes. We'll get to that in the regular show. Those are still being made. And listener Dean, good friend of ours, longtime listener, writes in the Microsoft Surface. And he's not talking about The tablet, he's talking about that visionary
table?
Big table version. Yeah. That would be cool. Why don't they bring that out now? Everything's getting bigger. They just came out with a ginormous iPad.
The Surface thing, I think, was pretty cool, where it was the concept, really, where you could shuffle things around and resize them on a table. Is mm-hmm. that what you're talking about? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I saw something similar to that just recently, where I kept thinking, oh, this could be great for D&D or something like that, where they had was basically a sand table.
That would be fun.
Did you see that sand table? And what they did was the people would mold the sand up and, mm-hmm. you know, and make a little mountain, and you would see the topology change. The image would show the topology on what you just, you know, like you make a little mountain, you make a little valley, and you know, the topology would change on it, and you could see the lines and everything and the colors.
I know that our Game Master Scott is looking into a new system. We've been using Roll20 for a while.
And Game Master Scott.
He just found new system. I can't remember what it's called, but it's got like 3D visualization and whatnot. So he's looking into that. We'll see what happens.
Hey, yeah, it's from this company called Infocom.
That'd be Zork.
Text Adventures. We're going backwards.
That is all the messages. So our question of the week to you, and we'll ask this again in our regular show.
I do want to clarify something, my earlier statement.
Yes.
Going to a text adventure, I do not believe is going backwards. So just saying that.
No, it's like the difference between reading a book and watching a movie.
Or any book.
Right. Our question of the week is, what is the most challenging, what was, not is. Let me back that up. What was the most challenging tech of your life? So as you were going along and learning, you had mentioned electricity, right? That could have been one.
It's pretty basic. Okay. Yeah.
What was the most challenging tech of your life? Was it learning how to use your first computer, or did you take to that naturally? Was it learning how to, I don't know, give me some examples here, Craig.
Trying to type in a, we mentioned this a million times, typing in a program out of a magazine and missing the
keyboarding skills. Oh, you know,
there you go.
Keyboarding skills. You know, what gave you a good challenge in your life? Let us know. Call us on the listener line 206-222-2428 or send us an email, technorama@chuckjet.com. You can also hashtag us on Twitter or Facebook at #technorama. We'd love to hear from you.
You know, mentioning the keyboarding skills, I remember I didn't really know how to type very well, and that was always frustrating because in my mind I could see what I wanted to say, and I'm typing like I got some kind of, you know, motor skill problem. You know, I'm sitting there going, trying to type it out, and I'm going way too slow from what my mind is. So that was a big driving force for me to type faster.
Mine was just breaking old bad habits, because if you start out being a Donna you loves it when we do this. You start out being a pecker.
You kept slapping the side of the keyboard like it was a typewriter. Look at the,
well, when you just back. Go finger, you know, with your index fingers, mm-hmm. and finally you get pretty fast at that. Then I turned into more of this spanning technology where my hands would just kind of hover over the keyboard and I'd reach for whatever was closest. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't resting on the home rows. You know, trying to get through these various evolutions so that you could move on to the next one. And finally, you just got to break down and go, look, set your fingers on the home rows, do it right. Stop looking at the keys. It's going to be painfully slow at first. But once you start getting the good habits, then it gets faster.
Hey, at least you're wearing a pecker. I mean, hunting pecker. I'm sorry.
That's what I said that. And on that note, we're going to get out of here. We would love to hear from you, and we would love, we want to thank all the people who donate to our tip jar. You can do that on the Technorama page by going to one of the PayPal links. We are working on our Patreon strategy as we speak. Look for that in the month of October, and we will be making an announcement of how you can be a patron of this show and contribute and keep it going and alive. Our expenses seem to keep going up all the time. It's been 10 years. I think we've made a whole $35. We want to hear more from you. Go visit us at chuckchat.com, where you'll find this and some other shows, but most of them are dead. So, you know, people get old, podcasts get old, everybody dies. But until next time, Craig, could you give us a 101?
Maybe. We're ready?
Go.
Okay. 101!